Right now on VFN TV, China is having the world's greatest revival in our generation as we speak. In addition, students at Georgia Tech in Georgia are paying it forward, and you're going to see a security guard just melt down in tears as the love comes from these students. It's an amazing thing, including Congressman Michael Kahn talking about the deadly dangers that are taking place in America and how this cyber internet potential attack on America bring America to its knees, and Bible illiteracy right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America's going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America's going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War. We had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated: I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. He has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up columns. I'm causing alignment to occur. And I will be sending forth column after column after column until the enemy is pushed out of your sphere.
God said, I've released my spirit, and the Spirit is going to rush to you.
But we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are we? Where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related? But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos, and we are so glad to have you with us here on VFN TV today. Think about this. As we speak, China is experiencing the greatest revival. The earth is experiencing the greatest revival, and it's taken place in our generation in China. Over 30,000 people a day are giving their life to the Lord in China. There's 1.3 billion plus folks in China. As a matter of fact, let's find out what's taking place, what God is doing in China. Take a look.
So when we're talking about China, we are talking about a country with a very large force of people. And there's something that is happening that I want to tell you about. If you haven't heard, let me be the one to at least share the good news about the Chinese. They are having the world's largest revival. It's not even close to anywhere else. Conservative estimates are about 28,000 to 30,000 people coming to Christ in China every single day. That's about 1 million a month. If conservative estimates are correct inside of China today, that would mean that they have about 130, and some say as many as 160 million believers. If we take the most conservative number, that means that China is about to or already has surpassed the number of registered communist members in their church. That is one of the most amazing stories in the world today, and it's actually being skipped over. And that's good news for us. Why? Because of this. With the number of Christians that are growing inside of China, we are seeing it impact every part of their society. Every part of their society, meaning that the way that they treat each other, their human rights records, is changing. The way that they even treat animals is changing. Those Christians that are in the more influential positions in government today are radically changing the way that things are done in the communist government. In fact, Israel has a new friend. You know, it wasn't long ago that Norway was going to try to punish Israel by taking out one of their major producers because of what they felt was an occupation of Palestinian territory. So they were pulling out one of their main factories. Last time I was there was a few months ago. When I arrived, a Chinese delegation came, bought that Norwegian company, and kept the factory exactly where it was inside of Israel. Today we are seeing a friendship with the Jewish nation like never before. And that is important because China is growing militarily, economically, politically. Today is a day that China needs, and we need China to have Christ more than ever. You know, it was in the 1920s. Before the 1920s, there was a missionary that was serving in Japan. And he said, send your missionaries to Japan today, or you will send your soldiers tomorrow. Today we are seeing China radically change, and it is not a change that is taking place because of capitalism. It is not a change that has taken place because we had a great statesman that went over there in the 1970s and was able to negotiate special terms. It was not a change that came as a result of a president engaging them in a special way. It is a change that is resulting from a complete transformation of the hearts of the Chinese. The Chinese that are experiencing the world's largest revival of our lifetime, maybe ever. The Chinese that are experiencing the revival are not content to keep this to themselves. They believe that God has called them for such a time as this to start spreading the gospel from the borders of China all the way back to Jerusalem. That does not mean that they were going to get on a flight and fly to Jerusalem and start selling knickknacks in the old city that were made in China. That means that they are going to go from country to country, village to village, person to person, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the last frontier. This is the area that is radically against sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The enemy knows that his time is limited. And that's why today I think we are seeing more violence against Christians than ever before coming from this region. This is the last holdout. This is the last stretch.
The last stretch. This is so powerful. This is prophecy coming to pass. I'm so thankful for what's happening in China. Is 20 to 30,000 people a day getting saved. And that's like 1 million, I guess they said, potentially a month. Oh, this is it. This is time for, I think about this. I remember, you know, trying to figure out something on a local level. And I didn't know what to do in regards to being, I just had some issues that I needed to resolve in regards to how to do ministry in a smaller scale. And so my wife, Donna, she says, listen, tonight I want you to pray. She says, why don't you just pray and ask God for a directional dream? And I said, okay, I'll just ask God for a directional dream. And you know what he showed me prophetically? I mean, here I am trying to solve a local problem in America, in a portion of America, in a very small portion of a portion of America. But he shows me China. He shows me China. He shows me flying into China on a plane filled with men. We landed in China. The men got off. We got onto a bus. And we went over this bridge, and God begins to show me details about what he's going to do in China. It's like, oh, my goodness. And we're seeing today that our brothers and sisters are expanding, and the family's expanding in China. It's exciting to see that. As a matter of fact, a lot of our Asian brothers and sisters are praying for us in America. This is what they're saying. They're praying, says, you know, America, that we would be humbled so that we wouldn't lose America, that we would just begin to humble ourselves before God. But if we'll do that, then we will have revival and we'll have America. They're not wanting America's light to go out. But imagine all these difficult countries that are difficult to minister to that most people aren't going to. They're saying China's church, our brothers and sisters, are going to go right through those high Islamic areas. I can't name each and every one of them right now, but as they go in, they're going to win people to the Lord and lead them to the Lord. And all of a sudden, it's going to be a big, huge wave of salvation all the way to Jerusalem. These are exciting days. And China, the Christians in China stood up for Israel when Norway was trying to do them in. We just thank God for our Christian brothers in China. I want to say hello to all of our audiences out there that's watching us. We're excited about what you're doing. And after this break, we're going to be hearing from Congressman Michael Kahn. And this is so important because he's the one seeing all these reports come in, these intelligent reports. That we got some major concerns going on with our internet and things that are happening worldwide. And he wrote a book about it. And we'll be talking about that when we get back from the break. And also we're talking about being the students at Georgia Tech paying it forward. It was just so beautiful. It's going to melt your heart. Join us after the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know that China, John, is praying in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talked to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. And the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means strategia, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the apostolic church arising.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do.
And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. Pay it forward. We always talk about links of kindness.
Yes.
You don't want to be the missing link.
No.
We have this hashtag campaign. You go to linksofkindness.org. We want to encourage you. I mean, think about it. What did God do? He was kind to us. He sent his son to let us know that he loves us, has a plan for our life, and that he will forgive our sins. He'll heal us. He'll be kind to us. So many people are waiting for us just to be kind to them. Mm-hmm. This is an awesome thing. This is Georgia Tech students. Took the time to be kind. They took the time to be kind. The security guard they're seeing all the time at this door, looking over them, watching out for them. As a matter of fact, take a look. It's just going to bless your heart. It's called Paying It Forward.
Present for Chris for the holidays, and okay, this is your following that you have here, and we just, all the students came together, and we just want to show you how much we appreciate you and all that you do for us each day, bringing the energy and making our days better. So we had 150 students come together and just give you a little token of our appreciation that you can open up later, and made a card for you, and we just want to make sure that you know how much we appreciate you and how much we love you.
Tell them how much you raised.
How much you raised? $1,600. It's not about the money, it's about how many people donated and how much we appreciate you every day. So thank you very much.
Give the man a hug.
So powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
The links of kindness. Go to linksofkindness.org and begin to get inspired. It's so simple to do. When you see an act of kindness, identify it. Go to your social media, wherever it is. Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's Twitter. Maybe it's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just say, hashtag links of kindness. That's it. Hashtag. You can see it on your screen. Hashtag links of kindness. And what that is, when you do that, that's like a search term. It'll pop up everywhere.
That's right.
And people will see that. And we haven't got a chance to do this segment yet, but Pat is really honest to be able to do the segment. Because when you see kindness, it's almost like you're experiencing that kindness, and there's a chemical reaction in your body, and your heart softens. It's a powerful thing. As the church, we should be being kind.
Mm.
We should be known for our kindness and our love and our compassion. And it's so simple to do. If you spot it, share it. If you do it, share it. If you get a chance to record it so other people can see it. People had the very same reaction. If you go out and you're kind to someone and you're nice to someone, it feels good to be able to do that. But you know what? If in fact, if you see somebody that's kind and you see a kind act, the same physical chemical reaction takes place in your body, a feeling of well-being. Now imagine if we had this chain link kindness, that this long, lengthy act after act after act of kindness, it's going to begin to soften the heart of our nation, our community. You just don't want to be the missing link. Go to linksofkindness.org and begin to share the kindness today. This congressman, John, Michael
McCaul,
wrote this book, and he is a man that is seeing the reports. He's seeing what's taking place. The book he wrote is called Failures of Imagination.
Yeah. Doesn't he serve as the chairman of Homeland Security?
Yes. And it's just like a shutdown of people's imagination. Just imagine with me, if you're standing in front of a train on the track and it's coming at you at 100 miles an hour, imagine what's going to happen, right?
Mm.
But it's like today is like, I just can't see that. I'm not sure what would happen, you know. Well, he's being interviewed here by Pat Robinson. This is so important. He sees the evidence. He sees the report. He's on Homeland Security, and he's warning us. As a matter of fact, let's go to the interview now.
America's inability to foresee the attacks of September 11th, 2001 was deemed a collective failure of imagination by the 9/11 Commission report. And despite the recent terror attacks on Paris and Brussels, Washington still lacks imagination, according to Texas Congressman Michael McCaul. In his book, Failures of Imagination, The Deadliest Threats to Our Homeland and How to Thwart Them, Representative McCaul outlines the horrific scenarios that lie in wait for our nation if we fail to act. McCaul explains how our vulnerabilities were created, how our enemies plan to exploit them, and what we can do to uncover and stop the plots before it's too late.
Well, Congressman Mike McCaul is with us right now from Washington. Congressman, talk about a cybersecurity attack. What would it do to us if somebody really hit us hard with one of those things? How would it affect us all the way across the board?
Well, you know, Pat, thanks for having me on your show. I think we talk a lot about the Islamist terror-based threat, but the cybersecurity is a completely different threat from the active shooter we saw in Paris and Brussels, San Bernardino. A cyber event could actually shut down power grids, financial institutions, cause absolute chaos across the nation. We saw Russia recently shut down Ukraine and its power grid. So this is the kind of thing that would be highly devastating, highly consequential. And it's something we need to protect against. We have great offensive capability ourselves, but it's a defensive capability that needs to be strengthened in this country.
What do? You have some hacker that hacks into the command and control modules or into the power grid. How do they get at it?
Well, you know, again, Russia's very good at this. China is very good at espionage. They stole 20 million security clearances from the federal government. Iran's really good at hacking into financial institutions. And I think what concerns me even more so is the fact that the jihadists now are trying to develop this capability. Their intent is very high to cause a damaging, catastrophic cyber events in the nation. Their capabilities just aren't quite there yet.
Are we facing that EMP, that electronic magnetic pulse thing, where they explode some weapon in the up in the stratosphere someplace and shut down everything all at one time and fry the nodules of the power grid?
You know, EMP is something we are concerned about. I passed a bill out of my committee addressing this issue, and it can be caused by two things. One, a solar flare that can go across the globe and literally fry electronics. The other one can be man-made by a nuclear device being exploded overhead, say, New York City or Washington, completely frying all electronics. So that's something that we're also very concerned about and trying to guard and protect against.
Well, I know we're concerned. I'm concerned. You're concerned. But how can we stop it? You know, Tom Clancy wrote a book about somebody putting a freighter in the Baltimore Harbor and then launching a nuclear missile from some freighter, you know. Is that possible where they can do that and they blow one up in the atmosphere?
Well, it could. I think it's a lower probability, but a high damaging, obviously experience. What I talk about in the book are all these different threat vectors, you know, whether it be ISIS and what they want to do against us in the United States, whether it be Russia and Mr. Putin and his aggression, and whether it be a cybersecurity attack or a biological weapon being brought into the United States. These are all very real threats. And the reason I wrote the book is because I think the American people deserve to know the truth about the threats that we face as a nation. And I think for too long, this administration has downplayed those threats, and they haven't been honest about those threats. And we really need to deal with them as policymakers head on.
Well, are we living in a fool's paradise? In all seriousness, I mean, we're working about all this election and everybody's worrying about Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, et cetera. But underlying is this incredible danger to our country. Are we facing it in the administration, in Congress, at the higher levels of our government?
I think that we are facing probably the highest threat level since 9/11. We've arrested over 80 ISIS followers in the United States. We've disrupted hundreds of plots against the West. And so it is a concern. When I talk a lot in the book, I start out with my father, who was a World War II veteran, bombardier in a B-17, part of the D-Day invasion, how they defeated fascism. And then we had Reagan, who defeated communism. And now, Pat, we have a new threat, and it's radical Islamist extremism that I believe we have to be really honest in our discussions with the country about what we need to do to stop it. I think this president has consistently downplayed that threat narrative. And my book is just an honest counter narrative, if you will, honest assessment of the threats we face as a nation.
Well, he won't even use the term Islamic terrorism. He won't identify those people. He, you know, and many times these attacks have taken place, and he says, well, they're just, a police action. Who's going to tell the people?
Well, my book does that, and I appreciate you talking about my book on your program. Workplace violence with Fort Hood, al-Baghdadi declares a caliphate, the very weak the president says the war on terror is over. This is really not a very good public service to the American people. And so I try to tell them the truth. And I know you have a lot of Christians watching this show, not to mention the fact that ISIS has killed so many Christians over there in the worst way. I mean, they kill their Muslim brothers, but they have killed so many Christians and literally crucified them. And they are so barbaric that we just don't want to see that threat, ISIS, come into this country.
The president called them the JV team. If you were sitting in the Oval Office and you had the stroke of the pen as commander-in-chief, what would you do to eliminate ISIS?
Well, I think we need a military strategy. We haven't had one. I've talked to high-level military officials. We can accomplish this. We can defeat the caliphate and destroy it with a military objective. We also need a political resolution to Syria and the civil war and Mr. Assad and diplomatic as well. But I think also we need a counter narrative to this ideology that's spreading throughout the globe. They are using the internet in the most powerful way to spread their propaganda of radical Islamist jihad in a global sense, so much so that they've recruited 40,000 foreign fighters to the region from 120 different countries. This is the biggest concern to Europe right now when they have 5,000 of them. We've had hundreds in the United States. And every day, people in Syria are talking to Americans in the United States to commit acts of jihad. And finally, Pat, they've been able to master the internet to even speak in darkness, in encrypted terms, where we can't even see what they're saying. This is one of the biggest challenges I think that federal law enforcement has, is how can we stop that threat when we can't even see what they're saying?
Well, I appreciate it, and I recommend your book, Congressman. It's Failures of Imagination. If you want to, this is like a thriller written by a member of, he's the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee of the House. And, Congressman, thank you so much for being with us.
Pat, it's great to be with you. Thanks.
I'm so thankful for leaders, you know, congressmen and senators
yes.
who are just standing up for us and keeping an eye. Thank you, Congressman Michael Bacall.
Yes.
Thank you so much for that. And I want to encourage you to be able to get his book. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about how a school goes berserk, school leadership goes berserk over a lunch, a Jesus lunch that's happening in a public park. You're going to see firsthand because they captured it on video. Join us after the break. The offer that we have for you is History of Past Moves of God and the Keys to the Present Move of God. It is amazing what took place in a previous gathering at the VFN Dream Center. You have to hear this as we spoke about the history of past moves of God and the key
that had to take place in regards to what happened right before the move of God took place. This is the offer for you this time. It is offer 2005 for your partnership of any amount. It is history of past moves of God and the key to a present day move of God. It's going to encourage you. It's going to inform you. It's going to inspire you and help you do what's required to be a part of what God's doing. Your partnership for any amount, it's yours. Become a partner at VFNTV.com. Go into VFNTV.com, click on partner now, and follow the prompts. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can even call us toll free at 844-408-3688. Become a partner today.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. You know, we all have hopes and dreams, but how do you react when those finally come true and sometimes you feel let down? Priscilla Shire explains that those can be moments that you learn to trust God.
We go from feeling really great and grand about everything that's happening in our life to feeling a little down and dejected about some of those same things. Whether it's your marriage, your children, your job, the career path you chose to take in the first place. And do you know that it's at those times in your life when you don't feel like you're where you're supposed to be that God can finally step in and say, now I've got your attention. Now I can take you to where I want you to be.
As the great King Solomon learned, the things of this world won't fill a heart. God has what you truly need, and He alone can make you happy. You'll hear more from Priscilla Shire today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-out right attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and He's trying to break down the give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, He made a roadmap. He made a way to Him, a bridge to Him. He loves you so much, and He wants you so much in His family. He wants to be your father that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find Him. Meet Him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet Him.
We have a great way for your VFN radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Can you imagine you have a park, public park near your school, and you're going to go out there with some food, and you're going to give it away.
Yeah.
Like have a picnic.
Yeah.
A church, a Jesus lunch in the park. Think about that. You're looking at it right now. What's wrong with that? Guess what? The school went ballistic. The nearby school went ballistic.
The superintendent.
The superintendent of the school reportedly has gone ballistic over this thing, but they videoed the encounter. Here they are for this period of time, just loving on people in the name of Jesus in a public park, and watch what took place.
Howdy.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Hi, are you Dr. Pine?
I'm Dr. Pine.
Hi,
I'm Melissa. Yep.
What was your name?
I'm Melissa.
I'm Mr. I'm Don Johnson.
I'm Steve.
You're the superintendent.
I'm the superintendent.
Okay.
Just wait.
I'm filming all this, just to let you know, just so we have everything clear.
Who are you?
I'm her husband.
Oh, okay. Good.
I'm Casey Helbach. This is Melissa Helbach.
Okay.
And you're?
I'm Steve Plank. I'm the
Plank,
high school principal.
Casey Helbach.
And
Jeff Keyes, associate principal.
Okay.
Hi.
Cool.
Good. So we are here to, as you all know, so we were going to move the cones and pull one in.
We are asking you to allow our legal counsels to consider this together, because this is certainly a question that you contend is First Amendment right. We contend that this is really an issue of our ability to exercise our lease with the city, and we think that cooperation is really the way to go. And I understand that you don't really want to have our legal counsel talk and try to come up with a resolution, but that's really our interest.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you coming and welcoming us here. We have a letter from our lawyer. We also have a letter from the city of Middleton saying that we can be here today.
Can I see that letter from the
city
of Middleton?
Yep, I do. I have that right here.
Yeah.
So we have got, guys, the kids can come over and we can figure out their lunch in just a minute. So here's the letter from the city of Middleton saying that we have the right to be here. Here we have you can see that. Then we have the letter that we've leased this property to, and then we also have a letter from our lawyer. So I do not want to sit here and argue and debate with you right now. We have lunch that we're feeding the kids. We have a right to be here and serve this lunch.
The way I read it, it says, you take
guys, if you want, let's just go get the sandwiches out and go ahead and start serving
them. So really, you're just going to not be one there.
You know what? Anything I talked to you, Dr. Plank, earlier, whatever issue you have, you can take it up with our lawyer. So we are here to feed these kids lunch and to share.
So even though we've leased the property, you view that lease as null and void?
You can.
No, that's what I'm asking you. I'm just asking your
We have question. Rented it, and we have had we have permission from the city to rent it. So whatever legal happenings have to take place, our lawyers can get together. But you know what, guys? We love being here with these kids, and we get to do this once a week for a half hour now, and then a half hour when the older group comes. So you can keep that letter, and we're going to continue on, and you can take it up with our lawyer. Thank you.
I think you could probably stop taping. Maybe that's,
Why?
All right. Guys, are we getting everything out? All the cool stuff?
It is unfortunate that, there can't be some discussion between the groups, and that that basically your resolution is to litigate and with the district, the public school system, and we felt that our interest would be your interest.
Are you okay with us coming in here?
No, we object to you coming in.
Well, then it's not an amiable situation, is it? Because you just said you wanted to work together, but you're saying we can't come.
And there are solutions for you to do this legally.
Then you know what? Our lawyer will be happy to inform us of what those are. But
and isn't it amazing? This is a school superintendent that you vote for, potentially. You put in office, and he's telling
you. That you pay his salary.
All of a sudden, he owns your school. He owns your park. And it's like, even though the school reportedly had
a lease agreement with the city.
They wanted to be able to use the park.
Well, the school legitimately has a lease agreement with the city for the park.
What if they actually, like,
it doesn't erase the fact
it doesn't make the park.
Yeah.
First Amendment rights, leave the park.
Absolutely.
Can you not play baseball in the park anymore? Can you not eat your sandwich in the park anymore?
This is hundreds of kids that they provide a free lunch with and share Jesus for 30 minutes.
What I think was really good, that they set an example how we need to approach things.
Yeah.
They had their ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They already found out what was legal, to the best of their knowledge, it looks like, and they talked to their attorney about it. They had the letter already written. They sought the permission that they needed, and they were ready to have a normal conversation. That's all people really ever need, because sometimes it's not necessarily the school superintendent, but there's like one person behind the scenes pushing that superintendent.
Right.
They say that 97% of the church, for example, a congregation stands with that pastor, but there's like a 3 or 7% that gives him or her a hard time.
Yeah.
But the other 97.3% and then, but 97% are silent.
Right.
Right. And so the pastor ends up sometimes making the decision that the 3% wants when the 97% should have stood up like she stood up. And there's more people, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, there's more kind-hearted people out there, the silent majority that's going to stand up and say, what are you talking about?
It's crazy, right?
So we're going to have to learn how to do that. And we want to be able to encourage you. And we do that at, you know, bfnkb.org, mm-hmm. how to approach those moments in time. And we're also looking for attorneys who not want to refer the church to people, but they want to stand up and say, you know what? I want to be a part of VFNKB. I want to be that attorney that writes that letter at no cost in the kingdom of God so she or he can have a lunch with kids in our park or their park.
That's right.
We're looking for all of us to come together to be able to be united as one, you know, to be able to stand up for the light, for the kingdom of God in our country before the light goes out, right? And we can do this. I see it happening, but we need us all to be able to come together and represent just like she did. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about Bible literacy. Bible literacy. You think about this.
Illiteracy.
And how, and Bible poverty we talked about with Cunningham, Lauren Cunningham, with Youth with a Mission just this week.
YWAM.
But it's amazing. The statistics say so many different things about it. But spiritually, when you get in the Word of God gets in you. There's life in the Word, and your life just totally changes for the good forever. Join us after the break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Our country is in trouble. Many people look to capitals like this, whether it's Washington, whether it's state level, they are looking for answers to the problems that they have in life. But I can tell you right now, without God, there's no hope. I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies, calling our nation to God. We're calling it the Decision America Tour.
We're asking Christians to pray, to vote for candidates that stand for biblical values and engage in your community. I'll challenge Christians to live out their faith at home, in public, and at the ballot box.
I believe this next election may be the most important election maybe in the history of our nation. And we can have an impact on this. We're not supporting any candidates. We're not supporting any party. But we want to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. I want people to come to Capitol steps like this where we're going to pray. And I'm going to preach a gospel message. And I'm going to encourage Christians to stand up and let their voice be heard. So please get involved in the Decision America Tour.
Go to DecisionAmericaTour.com for dates and rallies.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com. And partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. This is when you're talking about of all the things that God can give us, He gave us His Word. When you think about it, how powerful is the Creator of the universe? He gives us His Word. The first thing He did was give us the written Word. Then He made the Word flesh, Emmanuel, and Jesus, the Word of God, began to walk around, and we're looking at the Word walking around, and He's speaking more of the words of God. You don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But yet, Bible illiteracy, in other words, not knowing what God said, the Word of God, is pretty significant. As a matter of fact, I just even saw, you know, CBS News had this. You can see it up here now. You know, how much of the Bible have you read? And there's statistics right here. It is 22:15. It says, how much of the Bible have you read? And they said, all of it is at 23%. Most but not all, is 21%. About half is 16%, and none of it's about 9%. But really,
that's a whole lot higher than that.
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, share with us, John, what you found out.
Well, there's a new book that was just put together by an apologist named Jeremiah Johnston. In fact, Lee Strobel's wrote the foreword for it. If you remember, he wrote the book, The Case for Christ. Mm-hmm. And it's shocking because in this book, he highlights some of the hot topics that are going around, you know, today, and shedding some biblical truth regarding what does God's word say about this. And he's quoted in this interview with Christian Post saying that most Christians know enough about the word to be dangerous. He goes on to say that the Bible can be stripped down, vandalized, added to, taken away from, and 95%, Greg, of people in the church would not even know what you were doing because they simply do not know the Bible. Think about that.
That's tragic. Which means anybody could take advantage of you. Because if you think it's God, mm-hmm. that's what God's saying, you'll bank on it. You'll go, okay, yeah, we'll just do this thing. But how would you even know? I mean, if you don't even know what the speed limit is, I mean, why would you even know if he's right or not pulling you over to give you a ticket?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, there has to be a law, the word of God written down to know where we are in our life. And major, you know, people could just pull over. Imagine being pulled over all day long, being written tickets for laws that didn't exist. You'd be upset.
Absolutely. Made up stuff.
When it comes to the word of God, why aren't we wanting to know what the speed limit is? Why aren't we wanting to know that? And what else does this say there?
He says, we have the most educated Christians of all time, the smartest believers of all time in our churches, and yet they are the most biblically illiterate. They know very little or nothing about the message in the Bible. But he goes on to say this because the American Bible Society and the Barna Group did a study in regards to the Bible. And this is what they found out in their report, that how Americans feel. They said 98% of Americans believe that people should have access to the Bible. So that's a pretty good thing. 98% of Americans believe that.
Okay. You would think that means that they actually want to have one and read one, right?
Yeah. Well, listen to this.
Who's the 2% doesn't want to?
I don't know. We're going
to
find out.
All right. Okay.
7 out of 10, 72% of most Americans believe that the Bible should be available in all languages, right?
7 out of 10 is great.
7 out of 10. But more than half of the world's languages, this is what may surprise you, there's 6,901 languages that still do not have a completed Bible translation. Think about that. Almost 7,000 languages in the world still don't have a Bible translation. So the perception is most people believe that the Bible is available in every language, right? You know, even though it's always the bestseller every single year, you know, the Bible.
They even have another Lauren Cunningham with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, says they're orally transposing the Bible into languages. And the writing part of it's going to catch up, but they're actually telling it on audio, and they're playing it so they can hear it in their language, but it's going to take to like 2030 to get it
something
in writing,
like that,
something of that nature. By 2020, they want to end Bible poverty by doing it that way. And you look, 6,901 languages presently do not have it.
Yeah. They found out that in the U.S., most people have access, 88%, to a Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that 60% of Americans want to read the Bible. So the desire is there. I believe that even in every household, there's about 4 Bibles, but it's very seldom actually read amongst Americans. So the good news is that there's a desire for it. We just have to actually read it.
Well, I think, too, is that it can seem overwhelming.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody wants to do it. They just need a simple plan to do it.
Biggest objections is, you know, don't know where to start, and maybe I don't understand the version that I have. And then, right.
But you need a simple plan to do it. I mean, think about it. If you could just make it just simple. We did that. We have a simple plan for you. And we just give it to you. It's just totally free. It's at iabide.org. It will change the way you see. You have a desire, but how many things have gotten in your way because it seems so complicated? Where do I start? What do I do? What does this mean? We have a plan for you, a simple plan. It'll just break it down so simple. At iabide.org. You know, abiding with God is spending time with him, hearing, reading his word, hearing what he has to say, talking back to them, you know, praying to God, talking back to him, and then doing what he impresses on you to do. It's called a relationship. It's not just religiously like reading some book somewhere. It's a living, active word of God. It will change your life. It will divide if you're wondering what is really going on in my life, you know, why am I really doing this? What is the thought and what is my attitude and what is my intent? God's word just goes in like a double-edged sword and begins to reveal these things to you. But what you need, the way to conquer this barrier, the way to conquer it is get you a plan. 60% want to do it. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. Go there and request your simple plan today, and it'll come to you immediately.
Totally free.
Totally free. And got some talks and some things that it'll just rock your world, and you'll love it, and you'll feel so encouraged because you wanted to do it, but you just needed a plan to do it. And thanks to the VFN family, it's available to you at iabide.org. I want to pray with you right now, as a matter of fact. Lord, we just thank you, Lord.
Yes.
For your word. We thank you, Lord, for these Georgia Tech students. They're just being kind, Lord, to this security guard man, Father God, that just said they just wanted to be nice. 150 students gave over $1,000, over $1,600, just to bless them. Lord, I pray that sparks of kindness would just begin to happen all over the nation, all over the world, Father God. And even those that are listening now, that kind acts would be done towards them, Father God. For it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. God, and we thank you for Congressman, you know, Michael McCaul talking about specifically what's going on, letting us know. You said your people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and we're being told what's taking place. Help us to prepare. Awaken our leaders, Father God. Awaken our nation, Father God. Turn us back. Send, Lord, first of all, we ask you, Lord, to end abortion. Secondly, send revival. Dear God, we ask you, Lord, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless. And listen, go to VFNTV.com. We have so much available for you. You can download our app. We have an app for you. You get us in the air, in your pocket, and online. There's so many ways that you can be blessed. You can go with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all over the world. Thank you for joining. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program.